like Jerusalem has always been a city that's on edge. Even today, there is an air of tension in the city that is almost palpable. Everyone seems a little on guard, for the threat of conflict is ever present. It's like storm clouds are kind of lingering on the horizon at all times. It doesn't take long for even a visitor to discover the complicated reality of Jerusalem's existence. How could it be otherwise? For a city that's central to three different faith traditions and two different nations. You don't have to look very hard to see that Jerusalem is a city on edge today, just as it was in Jesus' time. As Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, conflict had already been brewing between him and the religious leaders of his time. That conflict, though, would reach a new level of intensity as Jesus was greeted by the crowds in Jerusalem as a prophet and a king. It quickly became clear that Jesus' ministry, in fact, his very life, was a threat not only to Jewish religious authorities, but also to Roman political leaders. But nothing they did could stop the message of peace and the promise of love that Jesus came to share with the world. So let us begin our journey through Holy Week with the story of Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for the word of God. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's hard for us. It's hard for us to know exactly what the disciples would have felt as they followed Jesus from the Mount of Olives down into the valley and then up into the city of Jerusalem. We can guess, though, that they didn't have to look far to see signs of tension. The city would have been surging with life, filled to capacity and then some with the 250,000 pilgrims who arrived to celebrate the Passover. Jews from nearby towns and faraway lands all came together in one place to remember their people's story of salvation and to tell again how God freed their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. They came together to celebrate their freedom in their holy city, a city that was occupied by Roman forces. So it was a tense time, those days in Jerusalem, as Roman soldiers would line the walls of the temple, standing ready to quell any riots and squelch, any hints of political rebellion. The disciples would have noticed, surely anyone would have noticed, that the city was on edge. The increased tension in Jerusalem during the days and weeks leading up to Passover always necessitated that the Roman official of Judea would have to leave his home in the coastal town of Caesarea to take up residence in the city. Now imagine what Pontius Pilate's entrance into the city might have looked like as he came through the gates of Jerusalem, surrounded by Roman soldiers and flags and weapons, astride a magnificent war horse, in case the flags and the weapons and the troops weren't enough of a display of power. And then, imagine an entrance of a different sort, happening around the same time. Instead of horses and soldiers and flags and weapons, Jesus entered the gates of Jerusalem on a donkey, surrounded by a ragtag group of followers that included tax collectors and fishermen, lepers and prostitutes, and yet those faithful followers threw their cloaks on the ground before Jesus as if they were greeting a king. They cried out for salvation, saying, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." And Jesus was indeed their savior. He was the Messiah, but he was a Messiah of a different sort. Even though his disciples had followed him to mountaintop revivals, even though they had feasted at miraculous banquets in the fields, even though they had experienced his touch and witnessed his healings and listened to the gospel that he proclaimed, even though they had been through all of that, they still misunderstood who Jesus was. Jesus was not an earthly king bent on political power, no matter how much they wanted him to be. He came instead as a messenger of peace, bent on reigning not on a throne, but in the hearts of God's people. And he came to proclaim God's love, a love that includes the weak and the vulnerable, the hungry and the hopeless, the hurting and the broken, the sick and the sorrowful and the sinner. He came with a message of peace and a promise of love that was for all people. Now we have been living into that promise throughout the season of Lent. During the 40 days, we have journeyed toward love. We've been praying into that promise, really. I've heard from many of you who have been using the prayer hearts we gave out at the beginning of the season. Those hearts have provided a daily invitation to spend some time with God in prayer. And they've also provided a daily intention for that time of prayer. Many of you have shared that your prayers throughout Lent have been rich and deep and meaningful. You have found yourselves praying for people who never would have made their way into your prayers before. And that has been amazing and powerful. And yet, sometimes this practice of prayer has been hard. Because the prayer hearts have asked us to pray for people we don't know, or people we don't understand, or people we don't like. And yet those prayers, the hard ones, have been amazing and powerful too, because they have invited us to live more deeply into the promise of God's love, a love that embraces even people we don't know or understand or like. It was that kind of amazing and powerful love that was on display as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, not as a conquering hero, but as a humble servant. The kind of love Jesus proclaimed, the kind of love he prayed for, the kind of love he lived out, that love was amazing and powerful, but it was also a threat. It was threatening to those with religious authority and those with political power. It was threatening to those who cared about status and wealth. It was threatening to anyone who was interested in drawing lines and making rules about who was in and who was out. Jesus threatened all of those things. And those who felt threatened thought they could defeat peace with violence and fear. They thought they could destroy love with anger and hate. But they were wrong. Jesus' resurrection affirms that God's love is stronger than hate and God's life is stronger than death. That will be the refrain of Easter, but we are not there just yet. First, we have to journey through the week to come. We have to journey with Jesus to the upper room and join him at the Last Supper. We have to journey with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane and watch as he is betrayed and arrested. We have to journey with him to his trial and witness his conviction. We have to journey with him to Golgotha and see his suffering and his death. As we journey with Jesus through the week to come, we will discover again and again that love looks different. Because the love of God is a love known not in strength, but in vulnerability. A love known not in perfection, but in brokenness. A love known not in political power, but in humble service. We will see love that is betrayed and broken and beaten and hung on a cross to die. But our 40-day journey toward love has been preparing us for this week, because our daily prayer practice has not shied away from the hard things. So we can be ready for what we will witness this week, the pain and the suffering and the death, because the good news of our faith is that God's love is different than any other kind of love. It is stronger than even the hardest things this world made our Savior endure. And the good news of our faith is also this, that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, knowing everything he was going to have to endure. He rode into Jerusalem knowing everything that was ahead of him, and he rode into Jerusalem anyway, knowing those loud hosannas would soon turn into cries for crucifixion. He rode into an anxious city in the midst of a broken, world, and he proclaimed a message of peace and a promise of love, knowing that it would take him to the cross. And so that means that Jesus can ride into our anxious hearts and into this broken world even today. And he will proclaim once again a message of peace and a promise of love, and that is such good news. It gives us good reason to shout Hosanna with all the joy and hope we can muster, because we know that in the end, fear can never defeat God's peace, and even the hardest things in this world can never destroy God's love. Because God's love is different, and that is such good news.